suppose we better start by letting Shep get his fucking dumps in since Scotland are absolute gash, eh?
Well, I mean, it was a decent performance from England, to be fair, and Scotland were not as good as they actually have been more recently. So it's unfortunate, like, and then obviously Harry Maguire pulled up a blind.
The stick, he's getting as harsh, so it is, like, I know he's had made mistakes and everything, but
I do feel bad for him, to be honest.
Like, I do a wee bit as well.
I was probably the instigator of all of it, because I've been saying this for a while, and like me and my brother have been taking the piss out of it for a while. Like, I was actually quite shocked the last United game against Arsenal, because obviously you saw Arsenal fans cheer when he came on at that point, and I knew that it was game over at 1-0 at that point.
Yeah,
and I knew that he was going to be one of the reasons for that. But what I was surprised by was nobody passed him. Like, it was evident that the goalkeeper, the defence, nobody, like, and in our team in wanted to pass to him. Like, it was quite sad. Like, and I think, like, his mum did a tweet today.
I think she did, which I don't think will have helped. Oh, no. Eyes more came to his defence on Twitter today. No. So she
Maguire scored the only goal for Scotland tonight. Is he someone you wish you had on your team?
Nope. Absolutely not.
So yeah, I think he's going to...
You know, things are bad when your mom's little whole fucking rap at you lot. Aye. You know what I mean? Like,
and the thing is, it's not even like... We're talking about United right now. Like, he's not exactly the biggest problem at the United squad right now. So, like, I think we should probably be like... I mean, give him a break.
Aye. He's a bit of a victim of the whole, like, the English player tax, in the sense that he's probably a very competent footballer in certain respects, who's, you know, probably been maybe promoted above his ability level, generally speaking, and then coming with that, like, £75 million price tag, even in the day's market, that's a lot of money, and it puts a lot of pressure on performance. So, like, you know, over the years, I think that has been a bit of an albatross around his neck, and, yeah, eventually, even somebody with the strongest mentality is going to buckle when everybody everywhere is like, you are shit. You know what I mean? Like,
I think part of the problem is also the fact that he's gone to a team that's meant to be a forward pressing team. He can't play with space behind him, so it's bad recruiting from United's point of view.
Yeah.
He played well at Leicester because they were a counter attacking team. He could just sit back, sometimes play out of defence.
Yep.
Same with Hull. Like, these are teams that there's a big transition into a team that needs to be pushing and passing, good at passing, and has a different level of.
We found that way. The Irish guy came to Celtic. Obviously, different levels. We're talking like
Duffy,
the top six of the top six of the English Premier League versus, you know, coming to Celtic. But
a different type of game was expected.
Completely different way of playing. Completely different pressures. Different mentality, and. You see guys go into the types of environments and they just crumble. And so, I feel bad for Harry Maguire in the sense that it's not his fault he's getting picked for England. Like, there's been this whole, like,
he doesn't pick a team.
And I also, I'm like, how the fuck does Harry Maguire get into that fucking England squad? Like, that's a disgrace. Doesn't he, you know, he's not even in fucking...
Was he played like 40 minutes of football or something?
Aye, and also, I think the thing that annoys me as an England fan is that Tomori sitting on the not being getting a call up, and he's a fantastic player for AC
Milan. I think Southgate, when he came in, was like, I'm creating a club atmosphere, so I get that he's trying to keep that group of players together as long as possible, but at the same time, there are, like, obvious players that should be there. I mean, from my point of view, my patriotism when it comes to the Scottish national team recently has extended to, like, not watching the games, and, like, in that respect, I'm claiming several assists. And I really should be, like, noted on, like, live score at this point when Scotland get a win and it's pure assist. Matt didn't watch it.
Didn't watch the game, right?
Aye,
because jinx.
It's like game theory, right? Because I'm like, one, Steve Clarke, great manager in respect to what we need and the results that he's getting. I don't want to disrespect him in that regard, right? But he plays a brand of football and always has done that would make your eyes fucking bleed, right? Uh-huh. So for me, my thought process is I can watch Scotland be dull as fuck and get beat and be raging and we get beat, or I could not watch Scotland and not be raging that we're shite and we get beat. That's fine. But on the flip side of it, I could watch us be shite and win and still be like, that was shite, but we won. Whereas if I don't watch it and we win, I'm like, Yes, we won.
Right.
And I avoided watching a shite football match.
So I take it you watched it all night.
So I watched it against England. Aye. So okay. That one's technically probably on me as well, you know what I mean? It was like a big 7-foot bully holding a toddler by the forehead. So it was like
it was like Bellingham and Kane cut like after their big moves. It was kind of like I felt like Bellingham was really sort of showing off a wee bit.
That guy was on another level. Everybody else so on that good. Park, mate.
He's also a bit of a wank. Like, I'm going to say it. Like, and see, to be honest with you, as a 20-year-old and as a first-team pick for Man, as a first-team pick for Real Madrid, literally reopened the Bernabeu and scored a 95th-minute winner, I'd be swagging about like my fucking dick was like 18 inches long. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm not saying I don't understand it, but he's still a bit of a prick. And he has a bit of thing that I think some of the Scotland team missed on Tuesday night or Wednesday night, whenever it was a wee bit of that needle. Like, you've seen Walker wasn't shy about putting the boot in, Bellingham wasn't shy about putting the boot in, Phillips wasn't shy about putting the boot in, and the Scotland players didn't respond to it. And for all the talk of the Hampden roar and the passion and blah blah blah, I mean, I was watching on the telly and it sounded like the Scotland fans never got there at the 68th minute when Harry Maguire knocked the ball in his own net. You know,
surely,
what I mean?
Like, surely, like, they Scotland have their eye on something else. Like, as much as it's a friendly, like, as much as, like, these guys play week in, week out against each other anyway.
Yeah.
Like, so it's not like a big occasion for a lot of the Scotland players. Like, they are a good... It should be. Like, and I know it was like 100...
Half of them are English, but that's maybe the problem. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, that's true as well. But I just think, like, they've got a big game coming up, which is going to be the
there's bigger fish to fry, right? But I just didn't understand the whole build up to it, because you're talking about, like, no disrespect to Scotland team, there's a couple of really good players in there, right? But you're talking about coming up against an England team that have got at least, what do you think, like 7-8 world class players in there.
Half of them aren't even playing,
right? And we're winding it up, and we're actually like, I'm a weird Scotland fan. I've only became a Scottish national team fan maybe since 2014, I'll be honest, like since the independence referendum.
Aye.
Before that, I always found it a bit cringy, the Tartan Army, and, you know, like, oh, we're the ones that everybody wants there, but we're not good enough to get there. I've always found it a wee bit like...
the glorious defeat.
And I never
so
really
much
liked
can tolerate
it.
That.
Never really liked it. I also went to Hampden once in my early 20s, and they were, you know, slinging sectarian slurs at Celtic players and stuff like the Tartan Army. So a young adult age, I was like, do you know what? Fuck them. But see, like, the whole build-up to it, and, like, this is the best time. Scotland are in the ascendancy. England they were crap against Ukraine, blah, blah. You're talking about we've, like, baited guys like Kyle Walker to come out and actually have a bit about them and go, do you know what? No, fuck yous. We're going to beat you in your own backyard. And you're like, you don't want that. Like, how about we just shut up and go about our business, and maybe if we get a good result, you can then start talking about how well we're doing. Because we went in, like Dave's saying, like, we didn't look as good as what we have. Maybe because it's not a competitive game, or
maybe,
you know,
the occasion got the better of some people, possibly, as well. But I think it shouldn't be lost, the wider context of where Scotland are now. Like, we're in great shape. For the first time in 20 years, we're beating teams that we should beat regularly. We're also beating some teams that we probably shouldn't beat. And that's a nice wee change. And, you know, England are in whatever the top five, like, they're on a different level again, and we're at, like, you know, sort of 60%, you know what I mean, like 70% maybe. But I think the wider context is still quite rosy. Like, we're a win away for, you know, another back-to-back European Championship qualifications. It's not to take anything. I actually think the team should just draw a line under this one and just forget about it, to be honest with you. Because, again, it was a friendly. As much as in the moment you have that, all right, get into them, I don't think they should be, like, changing anything off the back yet. They should just carry on the path that they're on. What I did find funny was, as you were saying, about how unwelcoming the experience of being a Scotland fan had been for you, the coin has kind of flipped on that one now, where you can see a lot of Rangers fans claiming that they can't be welcomed amongst it. And even see it with, like, that fuckstick Ally McCoist. Like, I honest to God don't know how that guy as like in a job because
see, really
honestly like see
I like Ali McCoy.
I fucking hate him.
I really like Ali McCoy. He's my favourite commentator.
No man, he has so many like stock phrases that he repeatedly uses to let his brain catch up with his mouth that it does my fucking nothing. I have to tell you, you know, I really need to say, or if I'm being honest, and like he has these like stock phrases and he literally uses it instead of just taking two more seconds to think about what he's going to say. He has that thing where he feels like he's got to say something, and what he says is just it's just white noise. And then obviously one of the things he did say was, you know, when the English national anthem was booed, because nobody at a Scotland England match has ever booed the opposition's national anthem. You know, it was very much given it the whole, oh yeah, the SNP fans in the crowd, and you're like, shut the fuck up, mate.
Aye, doesn't like, need to become
you're
cultural,
there to commentate on sport, like, and that's where his mask slipped for me, is that, you know, oh, how dare they boo God Save the King, and you're like, mate, you've played for Scotland. You've played for Scotland against England. What the fuck are you talking about?
I wonder what the,
shut up.
I would like to be able to, and I'm sure we could go back on YouTube and see what the reaction was at Wembley in 96 when they played the Flower of Scotland.
Because the England fans all stood to a man in complete silence and honoured it. Nothing about how they booed Craig Brown's minute silence, you know, Scotland legend.
I did find that a wee bit in the sort of like post match and a bit of the commentary around the game. It was all about the national anthem and nobody really brought up the fact that they, you know, Craig Brown's a Scottish football legend for, you know, I would say, and the guy died and they had a minute silence and there was a bit of booing coming for the England game. But how do you feel about this, Dave? Suppose, like, me and Matt are Irish Catholic descendant Celtic supporting East End of Glasgow.
Any football rivalry at any level, but, I want that disrespect. I want it. I'm like, give me your disrespect, because like, I'm going to throw it back in your face when we beat you. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like,
what's your take on the Scottish fans booing God Save the King? Do you find it disrespectful? I think this is the whole thing, was have a bit of respect and blah, blah, blah.
Nah, like obviously, like, I don't give a fuck about the king and all that anyway, so I'm not like I might support the England football team, I don't support like the British government
and the monarchy.
I don't support the monarchy, like all that stuff. It's all pamp and like whatever, like it's a bit shit. Like, it's when you watch the rugby and they start singing the anthem in the middle of a game, like whether it's the like a Flower of Scotland started and like against South Africa and stuff, I guess the blood going, and it's all tribal, and I think that's good. I don't think the whole pomp and ceremony and all that whole respect thing, I don't really care about a lot of it. Like, it's kind of like the haka as well. Like, that's the biggest form of like, it's amazing. It like gets your hairs on the end on like goosebumps shit.
But it's intended to intimidate the opposition.
It's a war dance, right?
Exactly.
And then there's been times in the past where the opposition team have sort of stepped forward to it, which is accepting the challenge, and they get criticised sometimes. Which I think is, why would you get criticised?
I turn my back on it.
I think that's happened before as well.
Dance all you want.
I think that's a fair reaction. Like, if you're invoking that spirit and that competition, then fucking go with it the whole way. Like, fucking right. So, yeah. But like, so I don't agree with like minute silences for respect for that kind of thing. And it's the same as like, well, as anything.
That's
like
why I prefer the minute of pause, the way the Italians and the Europeans do. I much prefer that because it takes this like full outrage completely out of the equation. Aye. Like, they go, Craig Brown was a legend, you know, served as national manager, played and managed all levels of the game, has earned a level of professional and sort of personal respect. Like, as a result, could you please stand and join in a minute's applause? And then anybody who wants to boo it gets drowned out with 60,000 people applauding.
Yeah, it's a good shout.
You know what I mean? I don't get it.
But the other side of what you were saying, and something that I've always kind of found, like, as someone that clearly sounds pretty Scottish to most people, and in England I just sound Scottish, but I was born in Bath and I moved up here very young, but because of my bigger brother I support obviously the English side of things, which I'm fine with. A lot of my family are Welsh as well, so I'm British pretty much, which is fine. But I would say that like I got a lot of fucking abuse as a kid, like from folk for wearing like an England top, just going to like football, going to football training, just going to like train football, like get hacked and, you know, worst tackle, like quite evidently, which is fine. It does make you stronger at times, but I would say that it's definitely like Scotland cares a lot more about this than England.
Yeah,
that's always been the case. Like England have rivalries with people like Argentina and people like that who are probably afar.
Yeah, I mean, it is the most played international fixture of all time.
It was the first one, wasn't it? That's what the
answer now was. The modern history is heavily in England's favour, but I've seen a stat pre-match about the overall, and it's surprisingly even.
I think it's sort like of, sort of like 43 victories to Scotland, 49 to England.
There's like a few in it in England's favour.
And then a load of draws, but in the last 30 years, Scotland have only won once. So the last
They were saying like 87, 85 or something like that.
Well, we beat them at Wembley in a playoff under Craig Brown.
And Don Hutchison.
I think that's the only one. And
I think that was a friendly. That was like,
no, it was a two-legged Euro playoff. They beat us 2-0 at Hampden on the Saturday in Scholes.
Because that was the last game at the old Wembley that Hutchison scored on.
I'm pretty sure that was a two-legged Euro 2000 playoff in 1999, and they beat us Scotland 2-1 in aggregate.
So it's a really bad show, right? I only watched like maybe 3 episodes of it, right? But there's a show, and I'm sure it's on Netflix, and it's kind of like about the origins of football, right? But it's done as a drama. So it sort of talks about like the factories that basically the very first ones that this guy basically said to some of the Scottish workers that were in this team, I need you to come and work at my factory. Gave them like really good positions, essentially the first time building a football team. And it brings like the whole idea, the fact that Scottish players were the first ones to come down and basically introduce like passing and like bringing in a basic formation, and it takes you through that. Kind of enjoyed it for the fact of what the subject was, you know, but I was kind of like, this is also very like
cheesy.
Yeah, a wee bit, but it was done pretty well, like, don't get me wrong. And like, it's quite like an interesting like topic, I guess, but I think I would have rather it been like just a quick hour and a half documentary than a docu-series like that's all like trying to be dramatised and having like footballers' wives part at the side probably and shit, you know. But it was interesting because there was a lot of like the team, like it has the whole idea of like the best teams at the time were just these like Oxford colleges and things like that for whatever reason, and these guys came in and destroyed them with new tactics and stuff.
I listened to you were talking about there about Scotland caring more. I listened to, is it Simon Jordan? Is that the guy's name?
The guy who used to run Crystal Palace.
I had Talk Sport with Jim White. He said something, and I was like, I'm going to rewind that and see if this is what he actually said. He said,
he talks some shite, though.
He talks some amount of shite.
He always has.
He talks utter nonsense, but he was saying a similar sort of thing, like, this matters more to Scotland than it does to England. And then he went, unless we get beat. He's like, if we get beat, then we care. And I was like, well, then you care. The difference between it is that you think that you're going to win, so therefore you're like, we don't really care about this, but if you beat us, then we care. Well, then you fucking care. That's how ridiculous that is. Just
I think it's seen in some of the conversations as well, the difference in mentality, particularly for the media.
It's so stupid to say that. We only care if we get beat, but then you fucking care about I don't care about money.
He's in his own
unless
paradox.
I lose it all, and then I care about money. It's like, well, then you fucking care about money. Like that. Yep. You just got a lot of it.
But I think when you see Steve Clark in the press, you know, the Scottish team currently are kind of enjoying the ride and really like sort of riding high, and hopefully we'll continue to do so, at least through this sort of qualification and whatnot. But then you juxtapose that against like Gareth Southgate, who came off the park against the Ukraine like a couple of days beforehand, won each draw, and the first question to him for the guy post-match was, that's a shame that you can't qualify to October now, eh? And you're like, just assuming that they have this God-given right to, you know, be at these tournaments and whatever else, and you're like, aye, there's that difference in those two sort of outlooks was quite prominent in the last few weeks, where everything with Scotland is all positive because we're actually playing like a football team and getting results, and then England drop a couple of points and it's like, it'll be fine, you know. I mean,
there is a kind of like there is a reality behind that. Yeah,
there
like,
is a reality.
Like England, when England didn't qualify, which was what, Steve McLaren or whatever for Portugal, I think it was. Like it was like a big thing because, and it's the same when like Italy don't qualify, yeah. or like these other, Sweden even get like quite a big rap when they don't qualify. So like, yeah, and it is a big thing when Scotland qualify. Like so I get, I, like, no, and what I did see about, I didn't see much of the pre-build up, right? I avoid all that stuff, right? But I did, when I did see Steve Clarke talking before the game, he did say like, the job is to get regular qualification. That's the step we're at. We're not at the step of competing and getting to the quarterfinals, semifinals like England. That is their expectation. And that also brings like all the additional pressure and expectation from, you know, some of the worst fans and pundit like media as well. So that's why you end up with people like Harry Maguire, who's 100% going to end up checking into fucking rehab soon.
I know.
But anyway, hopefully, I do have a bit, I have a lot of faith in like United fans. I think after that England game, I think the Man United fans are going to turn and back. And,
well, I hope they fucking do.
Like, give the fucking lad a chance. He'll end up scoring a winner against fucking City or something. Swear to God, like.
He's probably due one, to be fair. I mean,